Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
People just ain't no good.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is with us in studio to chat about the life and work of Nick Cave.
Indeed, the I suppose one of the most influential and yet slightly anonymous people in the music industry.
Tell me about him.
Well, he's from Australia. He had a difficult childhood and upbringing and things like that. Nothing to do with the fact that he came from a difficult family so much as he seemed a troubled youth. Comes from rural part of Victoria in Australia. And as a young man, he's clearly very creative, and he gets involved and he becomes part of the school choir. He clearly develops an aptitude for music. And then he is expelled from school. His family moved to Melbourne, and he starts getting himself into trouble. He does get arrested for burglary. He's 19 years of age. And when his mother comes to bail him out, she has to tell him that his father has been killed in a car crash.
Oh, God.
So without making in any way light of that situation, I suppose what I'm saying is a man born in and his musical career forged in trauma and challenge.
We played the first track that you've picked, People Ain't No Good. Tell us about his musical journey.
Well, shiny, happy people, it ain't. People ain't no good. He is known as someone who would be quite somber in tone. And although he would have dabbled in sort of post-punk bands and very lively, upbeat music, this album, The Boatman's Call from 1997, does represent a departure, a stripping back, a more minimalist, somber sound. And, well, the intro track there really displays a man who wants the lyrics and the very simple music to do the talking.
How many albums did he release?
He's released, I think, what now? You see, it depends, solo plus The Bad Seeds plus various incarnations, touching about 20 now at this point.
So but what age is he?
He's in a man in his 50s now.
Okay.
And he is, as I said, he's one of these people who is part of the zeitgeist of music, and perhaps in terms of massive hits, he doesn't really either have those or really search for them. I suppose in terms of popular music, most people who aren't familiar with Nick Cave would probably know him best from his collaboration with Kylie Minogue on Where the Wild Roses Grow, which is a beautiful, entirely dark song from an album called Murder Ballads. That obviously hints at a man who is maybe more concerned with the darker aspects of humanity.
Neurotic sea, far from me.
Oh, I love it. I really do love this album. This one, Far From Me. As I said, it's not the album that's going to pick you up and make you
definitely
dance.
Definitely not.
Lost Love. Kind of seen as a little bit of a torch song, holding a candle for perhaps the one that got away. Again, this theme and musical structure in this album, it's very pared back. We don't hear a lot of music here. We hear a light piano, shades of, shall we say, almost the deserted bar room and the lonely piano man pouring out his heart on the keys.
You mentioned The Bad Seeds. Which came first, his solo career or...?
His solo career did come first. He was, as I said, he was a man who kind of went through a genesis. He was part of a very kind of upbeat post-punk scene. And he forms the band The Bad Seeds about 8 or 9 years into his musical journey, you could say. And I think this is where Nick Cave really achieves the music I think he'll be most remembered for. But The Bad Seeds, an incredibly great name for a band apart from everything else.
Tell us about this one.
They're only little tears, darling, let them spill and lay your head upon my shoulder.
But actually, in brackets, it is a question. Are you the one I've been waiting for. And I deliberately chose this one to follow the past one because, of course, the last one was maybe the one who got away. Mm. But is this the one? This was the second single from The Boatman's Call. And I said, we're not talking about massive international hits. But for those who love Nick Cave, they will also know that he was deeply, deeply influenced by a man called Leonard Cohen.
Okay, because he's really nearly like the lyrics are obviously a huge component of this.
Huge. I mean, I suppose, you know, it seems an almost like a truism to say, you know, a great songwriter relies on great lyrics. But I think one of the reasons why Nick Cave is so respected and so loved by his own fans particularly is that he is an incredibly well-read and well-researched man who is well aware that he is standing on the shoulders of the great songwriters that have influenced him. I think we have to mention Leonard Cohen at this point, but we should also mention a man closer to our own hearts, the great and late Shane McGowan, who Nick Cave described as the finest songwriter of his generation.
Okay.
And not only that, of course, with the sad passing of Shane a couple of years back, Nick Cave flew to Ireland to perform at Shane McGowan's funeral in Tipperary, where he performed one of my favourite songs, not just one of my favourite Irish songs, but A Rainy Night in Soho, which I think is an absolute masterpiece. Bruce Springsteen covered it in tribute the last time he was in Dublin. It's a great song. But Nick was so compelled by the passing of someone he regarded
as a true great
that he flew to Ireland and he performed that song. And it's a masterpiece. If anyone has never seen the video of the funeral and the songs from there, I tell you, we do a good funeral in Ireland.
Nick Cave, so he's performing in Ireland this year, isn't he?
He is. I actually don't have the dates in front of me, but we should check that.
Yeah.
What I will say is, we're also talking about a man who's been marked by tragedy, not just in terms of his early childhood, but unfortunately two of his own sons have passed away prematurely. Four children and two of them, one very tragically following drugs and a terrible accident. So to say that his music is sometimes very, I don't like the word morose because it sounds like a criticism, but it's certainly a treatise on the darker aspects of the human condition.
Down in the Lime Tree Arbor.
There it is, Lime Tree Arbor. I don't suppose if I tried to say that this was one of the more uplifting tracks, that might seem almost counterintuitive in considering the general tone of the album. But it's interesting how the slight introduction of that kind of Hammond organ gives it a lighter, almost slightly jazz-like feel to it. And it's definitely softer and more, sounds like a chap on a morning stroll, the sun is shining and maybe things aren't as bad.
How successful has he been and with the band overall?
I mean, in terms of, you know, we're not talking about someone who's going to set international records, the most albums sold ever, but he has an incredibly loyal fan base, and you meet people. I do love Nick Cave, but I suppose I might not put myself into the category of super fan who goes to all the gigs and all of that, but what I will say is he is deeply loved, and he is a man who, as I said, it's not just about the sales, it's about the respect, it's about how thoughtful and brilliant a man has managed to remain relevant. And he's, I won't say reinvented himself, but he has taken his music in different directions, and his lyrics are always thoughtful. A big reader of the Bible as well.
Okay.
And, you know, there's enough, not necessarily a devout man, but a man who is very cognizant of the traditions in which he came from.
June 10th, Malahide Castle in Dublin, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
There you
still
go.
Still tickets available.
Still
will you go?
Oh, I will.
Yeah, well, yeah. There you are now.
Yeah, no.
Ticketmaster.
It's the only man.
Yeah.
So we will. I will definitely beg, borrow, and steal to try and get there. And to be honest, Malahide is one of those concert venues I love.
Really?
Yeah.
I was there for the first time last year.
What did you see?
Justin Timberlake. And that's where you and I
there's people
massively.
There's people falling out of chairs all across the country. I love Malahide.
I won't tell you who I'm going to see there this year then.
I'm Northside Dublin man, and I play tennis in Malahide. It's one of my favourite places to go, and I have been lucky because nearly always the sun was shining
for the gig. Yeah. So when I think of Nick Cave, I think of the soundtrack to Scream. That's what I think of.
And that's an interesting one, because he is a man who's been very instrumental in soundtracks. So he's very interested in cinema. He's actually directed films himself as well.
Because that song is synonymous with the entire Scream franchise.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That is top knowledge there, Andrea. And I mean, who knew? I'm about to fall off my chair.
I'd be lecturing you about Nick Cage.
I didn't immediately associate that, but what you've said does remind me of the fact that yes, he's been a soundtrack guy too. So it's interesting because he has a deep love of cinema and a film called The Proposition, a very, very good film. He's been involved in many's a soundtrack.
Your final song today, Into My Arms.
Oh, this is gorgeous. Definitely the most successful song, maybe the most iconic one. It takes the form of a love ballad, most definitely. And it is considered to be one of his great masterpieces. Sometimes I am tempted to let the music do the talking rather than try and over-explain something. So I'm not sure if I have the toolbox to unpick the finer points of everything that goes on in Nick Cave's mind. But this is pure Nick Cave. And I think to end with this song and this album, The Boatman's Call, which, as I said, it's kind of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds stripped back.
Well, we will leave you today with Into My Arms by Nick Cave, Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Thanks a million for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
A pleasure.
I don't believe in an interventionist God. But I know, darling, that you do.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.